Hi, this is Nate Benefield of the Commonwealth Foundation. On today's podcast, we're going to be talking about sugary drink taxes. They're often called soda taxes, or in some parts of the country, perhaps pop taxes. And they've been proposed by the mayors of both Philadelphia, Mayor Nutter, and Mayor Ravenstahl in Pittsburgh, as taxes used to help fill the budget deficits in those cities. Joining me on the phone today is Justin Higginbottom of the Tax Foundation, who has done a lot of research on this issue across the nation. Justin, thanks for joining us.
Nice to be here.
Justin, this seems like a new idea here in Pennsylvania, but I guess a lot of places across the country have been talking about soda taxes, and some places have implemented it. Where else has this been an issue?
Well, at least probably about 25 states and cities like Chicago have been proposing soda taxes and have soda taxes. They either have a special excise tax on soda where it's a few cents per ounce, or basically they're applying the sales tax, which usually is not applied to food and drink, to soda and other snacks. So if you want to call that a soda tax, a lot of states are doing that. Recently, states like New York, I've been following Kansas and Vermont, and of course cities in Pennsylvania. They've been looking at soda taxes basically to raise revenue. They have budget shortfalls right now, and you're seeing these kind of thin taxes, soda taxes and snack taxes, and states in the worst fiscal shape, basically.
Right, so largely this is what's being proposed here is an excise tax on specifically sugar drinks. Is it based on like how much fat is in the drink? I mean, how do they exactly determine what gets taxed? Would tax regular soda but not diet soda, or
Well, they basically just define soda, or they'll define food actually. So in a state where food is exempted from the sales tax, they will exclude soda or caloric drinks or drinks with added sugar, artificial sugar, from that definition of food, and then they'll apply the sales tax to that. Generally they'll just say any artificially sweetened drinks. Sometimes they'll even go after juices and things like that. But it's usually how much sugar is in the drink, which is pretty indicative of how many calories is in the drink. Well,
now some have said this is going to be, you know, this is not only good for revenue, but it's going to be good for the health of the citizenry. It'll be it'll help reduce obesity. Is there any reason to think that it'll actually achieve those goals?
Probably not. I mean, the calorie intake from sodas, just thinking about it, it's not a large percentage of a person's daily calorie intake. It probably won't. And there's other states. Arkansas has a soda tax. This is on top of the sales tax, actually an extra excise tax. It's only 2 cents per 12 ounces, but it's when you think of Arkansas, you don't think of the skinniest state in the country. It's not just soda that's kind of driving obesity rates in the United States, which has actually plateaued in the last few years. But I think a better question is, even if this did reduce obesity, why should the governor or why should a mayor care about obesity levels in a state? Generally, public policy, when you're dealing with public policy, as long as there's no clear market failures, economists generally think people should be left open to make their own decisions. It's not clear why a mayor or why a governor would want to reduce obesity rates in their country or in their locality. They use several arguments. They claim or they'll cite many times these medical costs of the obese, which is actually irrelevant if those costs end up being just private costs. If those costs are borne by the individual, it shouldn't be in the domain of public policy to correct. And you saw with Mayor Nutter in Philadelphia, he cited a lot of costs from obesity, and it's true, obese people have higher, at least yearly, medical costs. Over a full lifetime, it's not clear, but they probably likely have lower medical costs because they die younger, similar with cigarette users, smokers. But what we need to prove is that there's a social cost or some sort of externality. Someone else is picking up the obesity tab, with these programs, and that's not clear. There's no real evidence of that. You could say Medicare, Medicaid, that the obese will spend more with these programs. But that's kind of, I'd say that's kind of the point of the programs. If you don't want to redistribute from the healthy to the unhealthy, you kind of should take that up with these public programs, basically to prove that there's an externality with obese and the medical costs of obese. You have to show that, well, one, that their medical costs are higher than the non-obese, and that's likely true, at least on the yearly basis, like I said. And also, you have to show that they change behavior while being in these programs. So a thin person might become obese, or an obese person might become more obese if they're enrolled in Medicare, Medicaid, and that will and that the extra money spent on their medical bills will be picked up by the state. There's just no evidence of this. There's no evidence in the research that I've been looking at.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that at the same time they're talking about the higher costs of obesity or of smokers. That's why we need to tax those products. They just passed a health care bill that would prevent insurance companies from charging the obese or smokers a higher price on insurance. So it's very
right. Sword. That's a really easy way to prevent any sort of externality that obese cause on thinner or the non-obese, is basically having differential pricing for insurance premiums and whatnot, which is, I guess, illegal now.
Well, who's going to be hit hardest by these types of soda taxes? It would seem to me that, it would hit the poor the hardest because they tend to spend a lot of money on soda and other types of sugary drinks. Is that accurate?
Yeah. I mean, basically, any consumption tax is regressive because the poor, of course, spend a larger percentage of their income on any given good. So any sort of any tax on any consumption tax is going to be regressive. So.
How will these types of soda taxes, will it affect the economy of the cities and the competitiveness, perhaps, of stores and perhaps within the city itself versus the competitors? I know, especially with Philadelphia bordering Delaware, which has no sales tax at all, is this likely to be a major impact on those local economies?
Yeah, certainly the tax in Philadelphia is large enough that it should have some sort of effect. I mean, I believe it's 2 cents per ounce. So yeah, that's a pretty high tax actually. That's much higher than your guys' in Pennsylvania your alcohol tax or tax on beer. For a six pack of soda, sure. There might be some effects on border populations. You see cross border shopping a lot with sales tax differentials between states. So it could be expected that this would happen for drinks too, and it's also a cost on business. I don't know if factories will start shutting down and workers will be fired, but that's still an extra cost a politician's basically selecting one industry to help pay for maybe general services, which shouldn't be done. It's not very good tax policy.
We've talked about the kind of the merits of this tax, but would you consider this just another attempt to as a revenue grab for some of these cities that have been, very very poor fiscal management? I know no one would ever consider Philadelphia or Pittsburgh a tax haven. They tend to be high tax areas already.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if looking at kind of the trends through the country about which states and cities are proposing soda taxes, they aren't in the states usually with good budget outlooks. It's usually to raise revenue, to close a budget hole, and then kind of as an afterthought, then they throw in, and it's going to reduce obesity too, which, as I said, is kind of irrelevant. They don't back that up with any kind of economic rationale. They're not giving a paternalistic argument, they're kind of giving this externality argument, which doesn't follow through. So I think the major reason why it's being proposed is to raise revenue.
Yeah. Is there anything else you guys have looked at in respect to soda taxes in your research that you want to talk about?
We're writing this paper that goes through the three kind of market failures that are levied against the soda industry, or soda, the soda market. And this comes from, you know, articles in the New England Journal of Medicine and things like that. They're kind of, the proposed soda taxes, they kind of have this kitchen sink argument where they're just basically just throwing anything they can in justification for it. And they've, you know, first they've claimed that there's imperfect information in the soda market. People don't know how soda affects them. They don't know the calorie counts and things like that, which is anecdotally not very believable. Calories are usually on the soda can. You can look it up online. Actually, I think with this new health legislation, it's mandated in a lot of cases, at least with fast food and things. Calories must be labeled. New York actually just, or they passed it. A while back, they passed a law requiring calorie labels on their food, and you didn't find any difference in consumer behavior. You actually found people eating more or foods with higher calories than they used to, which is maybe just a statistical blip, or because they might be actually, you know, they thought the foods that they were eating had less calories than they really did. So that's one argument that doesn't really follow through. We've talked about the externality argument. There's the proof that there's a social cost. It's pretty hard to do. And then the third argument they give is basically a paternalistic argument. Basically, you know, people are making mistakes habitually, and we need to correct that. And it just doesn't follow. Soda's not cigarettes. It's not really addictive. People enjoy it. That's why they drink it. People stop drinking it. None of these arguments really hold under a lot of scrutiny. Another point is that when the government taxes soda, they aren't taxing just obese that drink soda. They're taxing perfectly healthy people that drink soda. So that's an actual added cost on the rest of the population. When their given goal is just to affect the levels of obesity.
Well, great. Justin, if people want to find out more on your research on soda taxes, as well as a lot of the data you guys have on taxes across the country, what is your website?
Sure. It's taxfoundation.org, and we blog about this fairly regularly. And then I've also mentioned we're coming out with a paper on actually obesity taxes in general.
Great. Well, thanks, Justin. This wraps up our podcast for this time. Join us next time. We'll be recording more podcasts, and you can find them all at commonwealthfoundation.org.